foolproof method. Y'all might think, well, that's kind of silly.
Yeah, you're right. It is kind of a silly method, but it works. Because I was telling a friend of mine that I record services every day, and when I put them online, I edit them down to 19 minutes. I cut the song off so that people won't have to listen to that, don't have the first prayer, the last prayer, the invitation, any of that other extemporous stuff like I'm doing right now on it. And I said, so I imagine you want the edited, cut-down version without all this other stuff. You know what they said? They said, no, we want the prayers, too. And I said, okay, well, I'll cut the song off, you know, and you won't have to hear that. And they said, no, we want the song, too. That's a friend. If you want to hear the song, too, you know that's a friend. Me, personally, I'll take the cut-down version. Of my own. I hear me enough. This is an old hymn, and I'm singing it for the churches too. I've been going through that loss. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. My distress, He know what book we're in? Close. 1 John. Same fella, different book. 1 John, chapter 4. We have to take a step sideways in what John is teaching us in John to go to his other work in 1 John, and a verse or two here in chapter 4. It helps us. You may have heard these words many times, but not in the context of what we've been talking about in the Gospel of John. John 4, then, we begin in verse 7. First John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And then we skip down to verse 19. We love Him because He first loved us. We love God because God first loved us. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, when we begin to talk about Your qualities and Your attributes, that You are a God of love and mercy and compassion and understanding, we know that all these things are true of You. And You tell us that before we can ever truly experience the joy of offering that back to You, we have to let You be who You are to us. As the message unfolds today, Heavenly Father, teach us now. I ask this, that I might step out of the way and You would begin to speak now, so that the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts, and the thoughts in our minds would be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. Now, how did I get out of the Gospel of John like that, huh? How did I do that? I didn't. We're also there in 13 and 14 and 15 because the Gospel of John is where this message originated, with a verse in chapter 13. It began a question for me that I thought I knew the answer to, and so I didn't look up the answer, and then I found a different answer this week. I didn't like the answer I got because it made me think. Do you like it when God says something to you and you have to think about it and re-understand everything again? Do you like that? Actually, I do like that. I wasn't happy about it because I had to learn some more. But God always has a way and a purpose for us to learn. Do you remember that the new commandment that Jesus gave to us in 13:34 and chapters following, that we love one another as He has loved us? Right? That's a new commandment, that we would love one another. And then He says in 13 that all men know will know that you are His disciples if you have love for one another. I want to share with you that love is a basic principle of the Christian faith. Very basic. And we've learned in the last few months that we grow as a disciple, then we become a servant, and then a friend. And we grow along those lines. A disciple is learning to love. Basic tenet of the faith. When you first come to God, you're learning that love is a brand new thing, something you never thought of before. I want to take you on a little trip through some of the Gospels where love is prevalent and how the disciples were still disciples and had not yet learned to love as they had been loved. If you remember the story of Peter, well, Peter, on the night in which Christ was being betrayed, said to Jesus, "I love you. I would do anything for you." And Jesus kept saying to them in the Gospel of John, "I'm going somewhere, as I told the Jews, that they could not follow. Now I tell you, you cannot follow me either, even though you are my disciples." And Peter says, "I do not agree. I will follow you to the ends of the world." And Jesus said, "Is that so? If it's so true, you would follow me to the ends of the world, then why is it that by the time the cock crows three times, you have denied me three times? As soon as that cock crows, you will deny me three times. Yet you say you love me and you'll follow me to the ends of the earth." You understand, Jesus telling Peter that Peter was acting on what he wanted. That Peter was trying to prove loyalty on human effort without ever having it solidified by receiving the love that Christ has for him. If you look at the story of the foot washing, and Jesus begins to wash their feet, Peter speaks up again. This is a little bit before Peter says, "I will not ever betray you." And Jesus gets to Peter, starts to wash his feet, and Peter says, "You will never wash my feet. You are my Lord. You are not going to be a servant and a houseboy to me." And Jesus said, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. If I do not do this, you have no part with me." Understand, Peter wasn't allowing the one he loved to express his love the way he does. When we first come to God, we have understandings of what love is all about, and it's very self-centered. This is how God should love us. You listen to non-Christians. If God loves everybody, He won't send anybody to hell. You hear how they talk. Or someone who believes in Jesus and hasn't really understood it, say, "Well, God loves me. I can do whatever I want because I've been saved and I can live however I want." That's how they think God loves them. Because that's how they want God to love them. Very selfish, self-centered type of love. As a disciple, you can get stuck in that kind of understanding of God's love. That He loved you and saved you. Fair enough. That is true, but there's more to it. And you're cheating yourself if you stop there. God has a whole lot more. Remember, we just read, God is love. If you want to experience God, you're going to experience love like you've never known before you met Him. Why? If you look in the restoration of Peter after he betrayed Jesus, after Christ was resurrected on the shore on that beautiful morning, when He cooked them breakfast, and He restores Peter, He says, "Peter, do you have a love for me like God loves you? Like I love you? Do you have an agape type of love?" And Peter says, "I have a brotherly love, an adelphos, a philos type of love." There's two kinds of love used in this passage. First thing Peter says is, Do you love me with a godly love? And Peter says, I love you like a brother. Because Peter doesn't understand godly love. And Jesus asks him a second time, do you love me as God loves me? And Peter says, I have affection for you. I have a storge, agape. I mean, not storge, agape, but a philos, storge kind of love, which is an affectionate, brotherly love for you. Yes, of course. And then Jesus asks him a third time, do you love me? But the word he says is, Peter, do you really have a brotherly love for me? And that's when Peter got sad. Because now Jesus isn't asking if he has a godly love, he's asking if he really has a brotherly love. Because he couldn't answer and say, I have a godly love, because I don't know how to do that yet. But I have a brotherly love. And twice he affirmed that. And when Jesus asked him, do you really have a brotherly love for me? That's when Peter got sad. And Peter says, you know all things about me. Very powerful statement. He says, you know my ups and downs, my ins and outs. You know that I love you as a brother, and that's all I got. I don't have the agape love for you because I don't get that yet. I'm still learning how to do that. I'm loving you like my brother, but not as my Heavenly Father loves me. And there's a big, big difference. Because a brotherly love is you choose how much you engage in that love relationship. God chose to love us with a godly love, the agape love, and it cost Him His life. He didn't choose how much of His life to give. He gave it all. And when we begin to enter into that relationship, when we're born again and the blood of Christ has washed us clean, we begin to see how much He loves us. To enter into that relationship is to walk in that love relationship and begin to re-understand what His love is for us. Now it's kind of difficult when we come to 1 John because he says we must love one another because love is of God. And he says, if you love, you are born of God. And you know God. And this is true. He's not saying the kind of love where a little kid says, I love my dog. I love ice cream. I love going to the movies. That's not the kind of love that is. This is godly love. The call to us is to raise above to the highest level of love there is. And that's complete sacrificial love. John says in 1 John 4, let us love one another with this godly love. Sacrificial love. For this kind of love is from God and God alone. You cannot make a sacrificial love until someone has sacrificed for you. I ask you a question. Has anybody ever sacrificed for you besides Jesus? Put themselves in difficult straits to help you. If they have, it's because they were able to do that because God blessed them enough to do that. That they were no longer worried about their welfare, but yours. When that happens, you see that God's love is at work through them. When you are loved like that and you receive it, it changes you. You are no longer the same person that you were. You cannot be because you've received the sacrificial love, and that kind of love has returns with it. Much like the word of the Lord going forth, and it says it shall not return void, casting your bread upon the waters in Ecclesiastes, right? And after some time, it will come back to you. In other words, it will go out and do what it needs to be done. If the sacrificial love which God has put upon you comes through you to somebody else, it will change them. My parents have loved me that way.
I no longer see that as something that's an expectation for all parents from their children. Many parents say, you're 18, get out of the house, you're on your own. You're an obligation. You're no longer an obligation, I love you, get out. I've lived with my parents every decade of my life now so far. Hopefully I won't have to in the 40s. But every decade I've lived with them in the 10s, the 20s, 30s, and hopefully not 40s. Can you believe that? I'm just glad they're still alive. And you know what happened? Every time that I came to them and said, can I have a place to stay? They said, you can take this room in the house. You can have this place. You can have that place. And they didn't tell me, well, we're going to have to rearrange our whole life around you. What they said is, you need it, we're doing it, it's putting us out, but they didn't say that. Sacrificial love does not say what it's paying